For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. They're still trying to play the majority of games in round four of the FA Vars, third time lucky for many this weekend, and we speak to a chairman of the club that survives on volunteers alone behind the scenes in the post-COVID era, talks about postponements and why the FA Vars is so important to a club like his. Brian Rose of Cleves and Cowan also gives us some insight into the travel required for clubs in the Western League and the impact the end of the season restructure might actually have on all of those clubs. Phil Annetts is back too, this time with his at FA Cup fact file hat on. There may only be one non-league club left in the competition, but as he points out, that isn't that unusual, although the lack of Premier League clubs left in the competition actually is. Rounding up the week's show is a fairly quiet week without too many games. Editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Matt Badcock, returns to the show and hopes to have a full programme back in review this weekend. But plenty more to come in the paper as well. And there is from us as well. So time to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So the weather has played havoc with the FA Vars in particular, and it's given us an opportunity to speak to another club in relation to their FA Cup, FA Vars fourth round, the attempts to play the game. One club that we've spoken before about their FA Vars is at Clevedon Town, and I'm pleased to say that I can welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Chairman of Clevedon Town, Mr. Brian Rose. Welcome back, Brian.
Hi, good evening. Thank you very much for that. It's a long time since we spoke last, I think.
It is, but you're doing well as a club. Now, FA Vars, I think, was it December 2020, maybe we spoke, and you were in the FA Vars then. How important is the competition to you as a club?
Very. We're, as most people know, we're run totally by volunteers. So any money that we can get coming in is absolutely fantastic for us. And the Vars, okay, it doesn't pay as much as the FA Cup and the FA Trophy, but the Vars does produce a pretty good income. It also attracts reasonable crowds for us as well. I think it'll be the third time in the last four seasons we've got to the fourth round of the Vars, and hopefully we're going to manage to equal what we did last year and get to the fifth round, where we unfortunately lost out to Southall.
Yeah, and it must help you when you're looking to recruit players as well, because it gives you a bit of a profile as well, doesn't it, where people remember the name of Clevedon Town. I'm well versed in Clevedon because I've got family down your way, but tell us a bit about Clevedon. It's a lovely, a Victorian seaside town. Is that the best way to describe it?
It's yes indeed. I mean, at one time Clevedon used to be known as the convalescent town in England, because going back quite a few years, there were a lot of convalescent homes where people would come out from all the smoky towns that were around if they were recovering from hospital stays and everything else, because the air down here is pretty good. And obviously, I must get this one in, otherwise the wife will kill me if she hears it. We have a very, very nice pier here in Cleveland.
You have a very nice pier. And if anybody follows me on
Instagram... Two years ago, they actually won Pier of the Year Award. Yeah.
It's a lovely setting for sunsets. And
perfect for sunsets. Sat on the end of the pier, watching the sunset with a beer in your hand. It goes a long way. You got a long way to beat that.
Yeah, but obviously you've got your fingers in as many pies as I have, I think. But you're the chairman of the local football club, and you've always been a chairman. You're full of praise for all the volunteer workforce to keep your club and those up and down the country alive. Have you found it like keeping that volunteer base harder in the current economic climate and also post COVID?
Yes, I mean, COVID, we were very, very lucky. We put into place all the safeguards and everything that the FA asked us to do. We spent a fortune on hand sanitizers and face masks and all the one-way systems and everything else that were suggested. Okay, the FA were very generous and gave clubs money to help them towards the cost of all of these things. So yeah, it's we were lucky. Our volunteers, we gave them the option, you know, if you want to carry on coming down, but make sure everybody's social distancing. And then of course, the two of the seasons got curtailed because of it. And we were very, very lucky. We didn't lose any games because of having to close because of COVID. And you know, we checked everybody that came into the ground. We took temperatures and asked people to carry out their own tests at home if they thought they might have COVID. So all in all, it sorted out that we didn't get any major incidents. But the on the downside, we obviously lost a lot of revenue because of it. With volunteers, you have to go careful with everybody.
Yeah, and talking of that revenue, I mean, I said we've lost a lot of games to the FA Vars, and you're going to try and get this game on. You've got Hereford United, a club I know a fair bit about as well from my original neck of the woods. So many postponements going on, and I wanted to, you know, maybe speak to you. I've spoken about this as someone involved in my own club, but as a chairman, try and help me educate the fans that actually calling a game off is possibly harder. It's one of the most difficult decisions you have to make as a chairman, isn't it? Or be involved in as a football club, but probably harder than letting a manager go because there's so many variables and it's costs either way, isn't there, as a club?
Yes. I mean, fortunately, I don't make the decision. Yeah. we have to, if we feel there's a, we have to get in a referee of the standard commensurate to the game that we're playing. So here we've got to have a level, I believe it's a level 3 referee. And because of where Harefield are travelling from, the two occasions we called it off, we've had to get a referee in at 8 o'clock on the Saturday morning. You know, we've on both occasions we've saved them coming in, traveling at all, and it's just been, you know, difficult to get it played. Although I was over the ground today, and the pitch is looking in great nick. The ground staff have done a fantastic job with it, and we look as though we're all systems go for this Saturday.
Good stuff. Now, I remember the last time we spoke, I think I interrupted you putting the match day programme together. Is that still part of your repertoire as well?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, this time I printed the programme for the original date on the, I think it was the 14th was the original date. I then changed all the dates on the programme, ready for last week's game. And then, of course, that got called off. So I've spent a couple of hours this afternoon updating the programmes ready for this Saturday. So we're now all ready to go.
And so with a little bit of extra time on your hands, you just thought you'd on a Thursday evening, you'd help out with the under-18s at the match this evening?
I try and go along and support the under-18s wherever they're playing. I've had a problem since October. I tore all the ligaments in my knee and wasn't able to drive. But now I'm back on my feet again, as it were. I sorted their kit out for them this afternoon, and I've come across the bottom. It's only 20 minutes away from where I live anyway, so it's easy to get to. It's the League Knockout Cup as well, which they've won for the last 3 occasions. So they're hoping to progress further tonight.
And will some of those under-18s be featuring in the FA VAR squad for the weekend?
No, I don't think so. Not this game. But a couple of them have featured in the in league matches, in squads for league matches over the season, and the ones at the end of their term in the under-18s, if they're any good, the manager is going to be snapping them up for the first team squad next season anyway.
Yeah, and you're in the the Western Premier League, and coming at the end of the season, is this reorganisation in your neck of the woods, effectively a merger of the Western League and the South West Peninsula League. How needed is it for clubs to survive and compete in the pyramid higher up if they're South West based?
Well, for the last two seasons, it's been very difficult because of the travel before the teams from the South West Peninsula came into the league. We were probably travelling about 3,500 miles over a season for all of our away games in total. And they introduced these clubs from the Southwest Peninsula. And this year, for example, we're probably going to double that travel-wise because they're going down to the likes of Helston in Mousel and Millbrook. I mean, fantastic clubs. They are absolutely brilliant when you go down and visit. And not only that, they do some very good pasties at one or two of them as well. But yes, I mean, it's going to be interesting next year. It's basically going to be divided up so that Devon and Cornwall will form the south part of the new league, and Bristol, Somerset, parts of Wiltshire, they'll be forming, the clubs there will be forming the northern section.
Yeah,
and then for promotion to the Southern League, I think it's working out that the two division winners will finish up in a playoff.
Okay. So the Western League having a strong season in the FA Vars as well. We've got Buckland Athletic hosting Ascot United, who we spoke to last week. But beyond Step 4, there's very limited representation from the Southwest, particularly as you go more towards your ways south of Bristol. Is that a resources issue? Is that travel issue? Is that time just getting?
No, I think it's just the luck of the draw, really. I mean, Bridgewater is still in, and they're playing this Saturday as well. And so yeah, it's really the luck of the, we've been lucky really, because the next round we have a home tie. If we get through Saturday, we have a home tie in the next round. Unfortunately, we've missed both Buckland and Bridgewater, but unfortunately they're playing each other in the next round. So another Western League side is going to be going out. If they both get through on Saturday, they play each other in the fifth round. And unfortunately, one of those will be going out. Hopefully, we might get a bit further ourselves.
Well, one of the things I always say I enjoy about the FA Vars is you get to meet clubs that you wouldn't cross paths with otherwise and make new friends.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's like Southall last year. We'd never met them before. And Harefield, they play in the same division as Southall. But they're a little bit further down. So I think Southall are still up near the top. But Harefield are, I believe when I last checked, they were about 11th. So, yes, it does. I mean, the strange thing is when we sort of sit down and think about it, three more wins in the Vars and we'll be at Wembley.
And that's again a game changer in everybody's
Absolutely.
Lives, really, isn't it? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, the only problem I've got is if we do get to the final, I shan't be able to go because I should still be on a holiday.
Ouch!
I come back from holiday the day after the final. So, but then that's the way it goes.
Well, I'd still make sure that you get there. Look, but. I need to let you go and watch his under-18s game. But before I let you go, having had three sets of floodlight bulbs go pop on me this week, and with the FA pushing on LED floodlights, I remember that you were one of the first clubs to get LEDs in. So I was looking for some feedback. Is it a good thing, particularly in this economic climate?
Best thing we've ever done. With the old metal halide lamps, it would cost us, for an evening fixture, it would cost us around about £85-90 to use the floodlights. Having put in the LED lights, it's probably reduced that figure to more to the region of £40. So it's halved our floodlight bill, basically. And they, touch wood, they don't go wrong. But we have a guarantee from the installer that if they do go wrong, they will be there within 24 hours to put them right.
Well, there you go.
So, yes, I would recommend anybody, and with the FA still giving out their grants for upgrading floodlights to LEDs, I would recommend to anybody get your quote sorted out and get everything sorted out and get them done because you'll save money.
Well, as ever, every day's a learning day, as it should be on the Non-League Football Show. It's been great to talk to you once again, Brian. I wish you well at the weekend. Wish you well this
Thank
evening as
you.
well. You're
Start.
wrapped up warm because it's the
Yeah,
temperature's
oh,
still.
I'm wrapped up really warm with thermals and everything on tonight.
Good man. Brian Rose, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Okie doke, Tim. Thanks. Okay, bye.
So we shouldn't forget that it is the FA Cup fourth round this week with the extra time defeat for Boringwood at Accrington Stanley. Who are they this week? Of course, there is only the sole non-league representatives, but it doesn't matter. It isn't any less worthy. And we do need the man in the know to keep us in the loop about the greatest cup competition in the world. These clubs aren't non-league clubs, so we don't know much about them. So it is a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. FA Cup Fact File. Mr. Phil Annex, welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me back. It's a bit of a surprise to come onto the show on fourth round day, but yes, you're right. We do still have non-league representation, so that's great news.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people saying, oh, well, there's only one club, non-league club left in it. This is the fourth round. Perhaps we've been blessed in recent years and people are sort of forgetting that, you know, it's quite an achievement for a non-league club to reach this far.
Yeah, I think it is. If you get one non-league club into the fourth round, you're having a good season. And you know, apart from when Lincoln City and Sutton United both made it all the way through to the fifth round, you don't normally get more than one at this stage. So to have one there is good. And yes, you're right, it may have been spoilt a little bit in recent times. But still, you know, Wrexham, who are the representatives, will have a home tie. We'll be looking at you to have one in the fifth round again for the second season running. And that hasn't happened for quite some time indeed. In fact, you have to go way back to 1949 when we had non-league representation in the last 16 in successive seasons. So there could be a little bit of FA Cup history made this weekend.
I love that. And, yeah, Wrexham looking for this Sunday afternoon. I think it's at 4:30 in the afternoon on Sunday on BBC One. But obviously, yeah, another Championship side in front of them. I don't think they'll be they won't be overconfident, but they also won't be too fearful of what's ahead of them.
No, not at all. I mean, having beaten Coventry City at their place in the last round, they'll know that they can compete with clubs from this level, and you know, with the home crowd behind them, that will give them an extra boost. And Sheffield United do have a little bit of form, losing, I think, to Barnet just a few seasons ago. So they'll be wary of another time up against a non-league side. The two sides I've met before in the competition quite some time ago, almost 40 years ago. And back then, the Blades won quite easily 5-1. So you know, there may be a few Wrexham fans still around who remember that game. We'll be keen to avenge that heavy defeat.
It is interesting. I mean, obviously Wrexham have picked up lots more global fans in recent seasons as well. But there are plenty that still get in touch and say, "Oh, I remember this, I remember that." And it's great that you know, new bits of history are being created. I mentioned about, you know, only one non-league side being in this round, but it's also, it probably shows how much the cup is a leveller. That I love your stat that this fourth round actually has the fewest top flight clubs represented in it as well since 2007-2008 season.
That's right. Yeah. So we've lost nine clubs from the Premier League already in this season's competition, and that happened back in 2007-08 season. If you may remember that season. The semi-final only contained one Premier League side out of the four. So, you know, we could end up with another surprise package in the FA Cup this season. There's two all Premier League ties happening on the weekend as well. So that already reduces the number down to 7 for the last 16. So there's probably going to be a shock or two, I suspect. So, you know, the numbers will be dwindling again. And you never know, we might get a second tier side in the cup final for the first time in over 40 years.
Now we've got to learn over the years that you are, of course, a Leeds United fan beyond your non-league wisdom. They're in the fourth round for the first time in what, 6 seasons? That club I mentioned earlier, Accrington Stanley. How are the stats looking for Leeds United on that one then, Phil?
Well, it's fair to say we don't have a great record in the FA Cup of recent times, and our record against lower league sides is also pretty wretched, having lost heavily to Crawley, you remember, last season, was it? Yeah, it's not recently as that. And then we lost to Newport County as well, and had non-league a defeat when Sutton United beat Leeds United on their way to the fifth round a few seasons ago. So, you know, an away trip again. Leeds United seem to only get drawn away from home. It's, I think, it's the 11th consecutive away draw in the competition, so there's not many who've had more. And we don't go there with much expectation as Leeds fans. We've learned not to believe we're going to win easy, and we just keep our fingers crossed. And it'll really test my love for the FA Cup when I be watching that game at 12:30 on Saturday.
I was going to mention that 12:30 kickoff as well. That probably not going to sit well with you either. But there are 7 ties that do kick off, I think, at 3 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, there's a few games. There's not that many. Just 7 are kicking off at the traditional time of 3 o'clock. Of course, we've talked about this before, where they've got to play their games to satisfy the TV companies. It makes more of a weekend, but it is a shame that we just don't get all the games happening together at the same time and get the excitement as the results come through.
Yeah, now we are the non-league football show, so I guess there's also one tie between two clubs with recent non-league experience, Luton Town and Grimsby Town. Any particular stats that we should be looking out for there?
Well, Luton are yet to beat Grimsby in the FA Cup. They've met twice before, and so the higher level side has lost to Grimsby each time. The last time they met, actually, was a 7-1 victory for Grimsby. So, again, if you've got fans from 27 years ago who are still smarting from that defeat, then they'll be eager to see that put right. But it's good to see that one of those two teams will be in the next round, as you said, with recent non-league experience. It's good to see them progressing as time goes on.
Yeah, and as much as I love non-league, you love non-league, I'd imagine this is the sort of round that you probably enjoy a bit more, because there's less clubs to research and some probably more juicy stats and facts where clubs have met each other before. Is there a particular one that we think we should, our listeners should be entertaining their friends with on the terraces this weekend?
Yeah, it's always difficult to pick out something different in this stage. So whilst it is easier to manage fewer ties, it is actually harder to find something that isn't already well known or easily found by others. But one that caught my attention was Southampton taking on Blackpool. Both those teams have only ever won the FA Cup once before, and when they did so, on their way to winning the trophy, they beat their opponents at their meeting over the weekend. So Southampton beat Blackpool on their way to lifting it in 76, and Blackpool beat Southampton on their way to lifting the trophy in 53. So and they may be thinking that there's something there to tell them that this is their year, maybe.
Well, if I was in the dressing room of either of those clubs, I'd be making sure that everybody knew that and had that in their thoughts going out onto the field. As ever, Phil, you are the man in the know, and I think there's a hefty amount of stats, even with the fewer number of ties. Where can people find out more about your preview for the fourth round tie, and keep up to date with you on Twitter?
Yeah, so to get to the preview, it's probably best to go through my Twitter feed at FA Cup Fat File, and the actual blog is facupfatfile.wordpress.com, where you always can find my tie-by-tie preview for all 16 matches that are going on this weekend.
as ever, Phil, it's always great to get you on and get your insight into the FA Cup. Well, of course, we'll be speaking to you again very soon in relation to the FA Vars. Hopefully, we'll get some FA Vars ties played this weekend, and we can look forward to the 11th of February, I think, for that fifth round. But thanks as ever for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tim. Yes, we're looking forward to it, and I look forward to speaking to you again next time.
Time then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers, and a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. It's editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I let everybody into the secret. That was the second attempt at doing that introduction. I'm just giving up on introductions now.
I think we did two last week when I messed it up last week. So the other week I was on. So yeah, we're even. 1-1.
I think we just know each other so well now. I think that's what it is. It's just sort of, I was waiting. We're sort of in that stage of our relationship where I was waiting for you to actually finish my sentence for me. I think that's what it was. I think that's where we were.
I thought you did a good job. I didn't want to step in and ruin it.
Well, talking about team effort. I mean, the weather, it's not been your friend, it's not been my friend, it's not been non-league's friend in recent weeks, and I'm sensing a warm front, and I'm hoping that's not that I've peed myself. It's more that the weather's getting better. We might get some games on this weekend. We might actually be able to read on Sunday morning about all these wonderful non-league footballers running around and scoring goals and making saves, and it almost seems like to an extent, we've had some sort of winter break.
It does feel like that. It does feel like that. And it sort of feels... So obviously, we had the week kind of wipe out before Christmas, and then because there wasn't loads and loads of football over Christmas, because the calendar was slightly different this year. And then the last few weeks since the turn of the year have been, yes, postponed, sort of shutting your eyes and seeing those PPs in your dreams. And... you know, even now, there's sort of games off and trophy games getting pushed back, and the VARs are some, you know, it's a third attempt for some of the clubs in the VARs this weekend. And, you know, we've seen lots of games that are definitely on until they're not on when the referee turns up and decides that he's not going to play it. So it's been a very, very frustrating time all round. I think we often forget the consequences of postponed games and, you know, bar stop that clubs get in and programs and all that kind of thing and traveling, and it's very frustrating. It's been a frustrating period, frustrating run of a few weeks, and hopefully, fingers crossed, the majority of the action will really return this weekend with a bang, because there's lots to get through, and there's lots of games that are already piling up, so it's going to be a busy last few months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, as you sort of intimated there has been much debate on forums and social media about the process of calling off games. And I know lots of mud was slung at various clubs about some very late calls. And I don't know the specifics of any of those, but in defence of any club, as you mentioned there, it really isn't in the interest of anybody for any of these late calls. And even early calls mean pitch inspections. That means people getting into the club early. Maybe it's resources, lots of ringing around, lots of time, lots of, you know, costs as well incurred for that, for additional match fees. So even then when we get to the late calls where, you know, we've got teams have already warmed up on their pitch and that sort of thing. As you say, burgers have been flipped, you know, extra beer has been ordered or other stocks for other things, and, you know, everything's already been heated up. All the lights have already gone on if it's a dark afternoon. So it's even costlier, both to the home and away sides, to cancel a game than to you know, try and force it through and get it played. And we all want games to be played, but sometimes it's a combination of many things outside the control of everybody at the club. You know, the match referee effectively has the final say, but weather can be changing by the second. It's just... it's just one of those things, isn't it? And I think we have to look back to a couple of years back when we weren't even allowed to play football, that we've got to be thankful that there are some games going on, and particularly this weekend, we might get back to normal action.
Yeah, I think it's been a frustrating time. And like you say, there's these early games seem to be allowed to be called off, you know, often the day before these days, and then people sort of criticise that. And then obviously we've seen some of the late postponements, and, you know, some of it's difficult to tell from some of the things that go on social media, and sometimes it doesn't look great. You sort of look at a pitch and think, well, maybe that wouldn't have ever got on. Kind of, why has everybody, it got to that point? And pitch inspections followed by follow-up pitch inspections and all this kind of thing. And it is very frustrating. And maybe the process somehow does need to be looked at. It's kind of difficult to know exactly. Yeah, I think you're always going to kind of get things, and problems are going to crop up. So it is very difficult. You know, I think we've all been, if you've watched non-league football for a period of time, I think we've all been in that situation where you've turned up at a game and it has been called off, or gets called off right before, or you know, it's kind of one of the perils of non-league football, unfortunately. But hopefully this week we kind of got through a little bad spell, and everyone can kind of get back on, and we can get talking about football again, because that's what we all wanted to be doing, really.
Yeah. I mean, as you say, hopefully there'll be plenty more games on. I mean, I guess the trouble is now it's so cold underneath that top layer, which hopefully is going to unfreeze enough to play. But I was chatting to somebody yesterday. I was saying, for me, it looks like that because of the pitches have been frozen so deep, there's layers of permafrost, and that's why a lot of these games have been called off, because just a few hours of thawing on the top hasn't been enough to be able to sort of play a game safely before it freezes again on those evening games in particular to make the pitch playable. But for me, I'm just worried that pitches are now going to be like a trifle. So you've got like the top layer of cream sat on a more stable layer of jelly underneath, and I can see these surfaces are going to get even wet with the tears of the ground staff, maybe sort of at the side, watching these pitches just being cut up, because that top layer will just, I guess, almost slice away, because it still will be firm, if not frozen, lower down. And I just hope that then doesn't cause us other problems as we move further into the season, because we've still got lots of games to play.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've often seen in the past where clubs have managed to get games on, then sort of the damage it does to the pitch afterwards. And I think, again, it's worth pointing out about all the brilliant ground staff. Again, whose kind of work goes unsung, and people don't sort of think about, you know, what time these guys are getting down to grounds in the morning on to try and get a game on, as, you know, do their best to get their pitches in great condition. And sometimes, you know, you just can't, all the best will in the world, you can't do it. I think, you know, you can see games in League One and League Two going off as well. I think that sort of shows how bad it's been. The pitches in non-league have, you know, been improving year on year, and, you know, you go to step four and five grounds and see how, you know, great these pitches are, right, you know, right through the season when they've had lots of games on them. And that's a credit to the ground staff who do work so hard, often for nothing. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of games to play, and it's going to kind of be one of those things where they're going to have to do as best they can to keep the pitch in the best shape as they can. It's not going to be easy. And I think, you know, we're always used to seeing those sort of pitches at the end of the year, that levelers, as they used to call them. So we might have a bit of that. It can be interesting on the, yeah, on no, how the results pan out.
I've seen some other debate about, oh, why can't we have undersoil heating? And then I looked and sort of been seeing how much that might be. You know, I think around £1 million. So I think if a groundsman had £1 million to look after their pitch for the season, or put undersoil heating in, that would probably save them maybe one or two games getting postponed a year. I can imagine where the ground staff would rather spend that money.
Yeah, I think no surprise it's that sort of money, having looked at underfloor heating in a new bathroom and swiftly decided that actually that's never happening in a million years. So, yeah, I mean, again, you sort of see people saying about that. So, yeah, it's just not viable, is it? It's not, you know, for the amount of time, even like frost covers and things like that, and, you know, they're expensive and they do help, but they're not everything's going to be you know, seeing clubs who've had their frost covers down and games are still off. There's nothing you can, sometimes you just can't do anything about the weather, and you say clubs aren't actively going out their way to get games off. Sometimes you just got to kind of deal with it, and it is what it is. Yep. There's nothing you can do about the weather.
I think
we can't control it.
We can't control it. We just got to suck it up. But also, you know, I know the economic times are hard and all that, but it is important that if games are on this weekend as well, that people get along and support the bar, support the club, because you know a lot of these clubs haven't had income streams you know for pretty much since the turn of the year.
Yeah, and that's the reality of it. That's you know, it's clubs, it's as it goes on back to back to back, you know, clubs are going to be feeling that more and more. So hoping to get games on, get those midweeks on as well. I haven't actually managed to get out to a game in 2023. I'm feeling too well at the turn of the year, and then everything I've tried to go to since has kind of fallen off in midweek. So there's going to be lots of games to get to, so people are going to be sport for choice from that point of view. So we're getting into that really exciting part of the season. So as the hopefully the weather warms up a little bit, it'll be even more of an incentive to get out and watch your local team.
Yeah, and as you've already mentioned, hopefully lots of those FA Vars fourth round ties will finally get played this weekend. We've got two midweeks in the FA Trophy still to come as well this week. And again, some big trips in the Vars. We had some of those aborted last week. I just hope for everybody's sake that they manage to, one, get to watch a game and then also travel there and back safely. It's these are the exciting parts of the FA Vars when you have this long trip, but only if you get the games to see a game of football at the end of it.
Yeah, and it's, I think Deal been going down to Corsham and things like that, there as well. Huge kind of treks down there, and this is in this much anticipated Newport Pagnell Town. See the holders against Leighton Town game that's been falling victim to the weather as well. So, you know, great occasions for clubs, and yeah, hopefully can get them on this weekend and complete it all. And obviously the teams that are through will then know who they're playing and what they're doing and can make plans for that, because the next round will be along very, very quickly too.
Oh, that was somebody else interrupting me as we go along. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. This is my life. I'm surrounded by voices. I don't know whether I should be admitting to that live on the show. But yeah, I know.
Jeff Stelling, was it Jeff Stelling?
We had last week we had the Ascot chairman on, and they were so looking forward to their trip down to Devon, and then I think that was aborted when they were sort of I think halfway down the M5 after doing that journey. And it's not always the best of journeys. I know they're going to try it again this weekend, but what we don't want is the people to get put off from going to non-league games by the weather, because it would be so easy just to... Then this is one of my concerns about streaming games as well. Yeah, it would be so easy to, at the moment, just to sit at home and in front of a fire or wrapped up in a duvet and watch on the TV, but it's not the same.
It is about getting out to games. You know, especially as you say, we've had that period where you couldn't get to a game. So I think people, you know, understand probably what the situation is. And I think, you know, once everything gets kind of going again, that you know, people will hopefully slip back into that. I guess it's the concern of the midweek games and some of the big derby sort of Saturday games that have fallen, and, you know, midweek and the gates sort of will be down a little bit. So, yeah, it's as important as ever to try and get out and obviously, you know, take a friend along and you know, buy a program, buy a burger, and sort of do that little bit extra if you can. And it's obviously difficult times as it is anyway, with everything that's going on in the world. But yeah, there's going to be lots to see. So I think that's going to be the beauty of it. And there's all this all these things to be decided, and title run-ins and relegation battles and big FA Vars and trophy games, and you know, there's going to be plenty to get our teeth into.
Yeah, exciting times. Exciting times this weekend as well. FA Cup action, of course. Boreham Wood's chapter ending late on in extra time in midweek after another great run. And nearly 1,200 fans, I think, went up to Accrington Stanley to follow them. I guess Luke Gerrard now will be hoping to learn from previous seasons and these FA Cup runs and get back into winning ways. And into those playoff spots in the National League.
Yeah, I think they would have learned a lot from last year. Obviously, they went a little bit further in the competition. Had their big day up at Everton on a Thursday night, if I remember correctly. So that was sort of playing habit with their kind of fixture schedule anyway. But they did kind of dip off a little bit after that, which is kind of understandable when they've sort of been the emotions that they've been through and the ride that they've been on to get there. But I'm sure. you know, Luke's proven what a good manager he is, and I'm sure he would have learned a lot from that. And they're not all that far behind game-wise this year. There's not as much to kind of catch up, and I'm sure that would have taken its toll last year. I mean, as we stand here now, they're 6 points outside the playoffs with games in hand on pretty much everyone above them, other than Barnet. I mean, Chesterfield have played the same amount of games as them as well, because obviously they've had their FA Cup run. But it's definitely an exciting open battle for the playoffs at the moment. It's quite tight. Among a few teams who will be kind of thinking that they can put a run together and get there. I mean, just talked to Altrincham assistant manager Neil Silvell this afternoon, and they're just 3 points outside it. They've been on a 10-game unbeaten run before they lost to Chesterfield on Tuesday night, a 1-0 narrow defeat. But he's kind of saying, you know, you sort of have to respect the league. You know, 10-game unbeaten run is brilliant, but you just sort of know at the same time in this division that can easily go the other way, and you can find yourself struggling to win a game in 10 as well. So there's certainly lots to play for. But Bournemouth, I mean, you know, they are well placed, and you know they've got that experience, and Luke's got that experience of getting playoff runs before, and what it takes to get them in there. And I'm sure if they can. They go up to Altrincham this weekend, actually, but I'm sure if they can get themselves back into that groove, they can definitely have a say in that promotion picture.
Yeah, but there is, of course, still a non-league participants in the FA Cup in the this weekend. FA Cup action for Wrexham Sunday afternoon, home to Sheffield United. If you were going to be writing a Hollywood documentary about a club who fell out of the Football League, struggled in non-league for over a decade, went through fan ownership model before new film star owners came in to revive the club and the local area. Might be a decent game to add to the script, this one.
Well, as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, I would definitely include in that script them beating Sheffield United. That would definitely be right in there. Yeah, it's kind of... It's sort of funny how these things always work out when you kind of have these sort of situations. You know, I think you sort of when the class of 92 were involved at Salford, yeah, they had a big cup run as well, didn't they? And beat Notts County live on TV. And obviously, the wider interest for Wrexham is there because of everything that's been going on and who their owners are. And I think you sort of said it before. You know, there's Wrexham have had great cup days in the past, and you know, seen their sort of how massive their support is, and it's been shown again. And in this year's competition, and a home game against Sheffield United on Sunday, who knows? Again, who knows? They've knocked out a Championship side already. Obviously, Sheffield United are right up there and pushing for automatic promotion back to the Premier League. So, you know, it's going to be no easy task, but I'm sure there'll be a bit of trepidation in their camp at what they're about to face and going to the race course. I'm sure there'll be more than 10,000 in there and a team kind of with nothing to lose. Obviously, they had a great midweek where they went top of the league.
Well, it's like one of those when luck's with you, isn't it, as well? You do make your own luck, but we're talking about all these games being off. Last Saturday, they were one of the only games on because they were on Maidstone 3G. Midweek, they go up to Gateshead and get that great 3-0 win. It's almost as if everything's snowballing for them.
Yeah, you kind of feel they needed to get those. It's a huge positive that they did get those games on. Because otherwise that would be even more that they've been backed up. But you know, I just can't. You look at how they play the same games, number of games in Notts County now, 3 points clear. But Notts have brought in Jody Jones today, who's obviously had success at higher levels, and I just think there's going to be so many twists and turns in this title race. You know, Chesterfield, the three games in hand, and on both of them, and they're sort of 10 points behind Notts County, but you know those games in hand will surely come into play. And you know, I think we said a couple of weeks ago that we're looking at these teams getting all over 90 points, some on could even get over 100, and not everyone's going to get up, anyone's going to go up automatically. So it is there's going to be some huge games coming up over the coming weeks, and I think we've always seen, you know, there are all these twists and turns, and you know, these random games on Tuesday night where you know you might be expected to win and the result goes a different way, and it's going to be a fascinating running.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well when you say, you know, Notts County, Wrexham, it looks like, you know, that they're pulling away. Maybe Chesterfield have got those games in hand as well. Then you've got Woking, maybe Barnet as well, with their games in hand. But because there's almost like then creating a little gap maybe forming with clubs playing more games but are in the playoffs. That seventh playoff spot in the National League, again, is going to become so, so important. I was chatting to somebody yesterday, and apart from the bottom four, there's everybody else could realistically say, you know, we're only halfway through the season, we could make the playoffs. They're only, you know, you've got Gateshead, which are they're fourth from bottom on 22, but you know, above them you've got Oldham on 27 points, 25 games played. They're 12 points off. That's only three wins off that playoff spot. Now, obviously, it requires others to lose as well, but it shows how competitive and how many twists and turns there aren't going to be now between here and the end of the season in the National League.
Yeah, that shows what opening the playoffs up down to seventh has done. I know it's not like everyone sort of kind of likes that format where it goes down that far, but you know, you can't deny that it has made for, you know, it has opened everything out. It's given more clubs a chance of getting in there, those extra two spots. And it's just made it a fascinating competition, and it means that there's so much more on the games all right through the season. As you say, you know, it's kind of mad to look down with teams who could possibly looking over their shoulder now could even be looking up. Just a few wins in a row, putting some results together can make all the difference. I mean, you know, look at Aldershot, for example, up to 14th now. Yeah, it wasn't all that long ago they were, you know, big fears of kind of where, what, you know, going down and everything around that sort of side of things. Now they're only 6 points off it. Yeah, they've played more games than everybody, but you know, just goes to illustrate, and you know, they're on the same points as Bourne Wood and Solihull, who've got games to make up, but sort of been on a bit of a tricky run, and we're trying to, you know, we know where their ambitions are, having lost in the final last year. So it's going to be wide open. And that can only be a good thing for the kind of the interest of the National League and all the eyes that are on it at the moment. You know, partly because of Wrexham and the interest that's bringing in from everybody. But you know, there's some very, very good sides in there, and who would all fancy their chances.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess one side that probably aren't looking at playoffs, but you know, retaining their National League status, Scunthorpe, we've discussed off the field issues in recent weeks. A new chairman this week, moving from Ilkeston Town, David Hilton. I think he knows the challenge ahead of him, but if you were to go in there on your first day, I mean, where do you begin?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to sort out, to say the least there. You know, just getting the club through generally and everything that's going to need to be put in place. It's kind of, again, funny how these things work out, take over, you know, all gets announced, and then that evening they go and get their first away win in over a year. I think it's the first away win since 2021. So, again, that's just going to put, you know, they've played more than the team sort of above them. Maidstone below them have played one game more, but they've played others above, sort of Oldham, Gateshead, Torquay, Yeovil, have all got games in hand on them. But, you know, just that result against Halifax will just give that little shot of and boost, you know, running through the club, and they can follow that up. Well, they've got a very tough game against Bromley, obviously sixth in the league, Bromley, and they've got their goals. But you know, that will just kind of, I imagine you'll be able to feel that on Saturday at their game. They're at home, you're looking for a big crowd and trying to get behind the players and see if they can start climbing their way back up. I mean, they've had obviously players go, and Caelan Lavery's left this week as well, hasn't he? So, you know, it is going to be hard, but they've got that bit of hope now, and they'll be looking to ride that through for the rest of the season.
Yeah, there is that like the feel good factor that you get with a new manager. You do get that when you've had a club that have really almost hit rock bottom in a way in recent seasons, and they're suddenly gives them that smell of success again, and everything can just turn and just change mindset, I guess. His departure to Scunthorpe begins another new chapter at Ilkeston. Andy Nally taking on the main owner and the chairman role there now. Hilton and Nally, when they first came in at Ilkeston, they had big plans for redevelopment, and it's going to be interesting, I guess, to see how far Nally can now take that on his own, or who he might be able to bring in to assist him, because, you know, like being a manager, being a chairman, I guess, is all about the experts that you can surround yourself with, and otherwise it's a very lonely job.
Yeah, I think it's a very difficult job, and people are going to be all eyes turning to him now and going, what happens? Obviously, they're, again, just outside the playoffs, and their success last season, getting up, only a couple of years ago, got up from step five as well, under Lee Fowler, and, it's a big non-league club in their own right, aren't they? So there's lots of positivity around the place, and the big sign of Lee Tomlin and kind of things like that. So it'll be kind of a case of trying to keep all that continuity going, and hope that it doesn't affect too much. And I'm sure the players won't go and carry on doing what they've been doing and trying to win games and trying to break into those playoffs. They've got big game against Colville on Saturday. It's going to be our picture games at the weekend. And Colville, they've got games to make up and their own cup and trophy runs that they've had this year. So it's going to be a fascinating playoff race in that division as well, in the Southern Prem Central.
Yeah, and then in the Southern Premier South, Truro City pushing for promotion again this season down there. They've announced plans for a new stadium. They sold Truro Road, I think it was for a new Lidl's a few years back, or a couple of years back. And they've been sharing at Plymouth Parkway's Belitho Park since then. But the big plan always was for that stadium for Cornwall, near a home to Truro. And I think that was going to be a tie-up between the Cornish Pirates Rugby Club, a local college and the council. But that all hit the buffers when the council said that there wasn't additional funds available, I think, to help build that 10,000 capacity stadium they're hoping for. So it looks like this new revised plan revealed this week is a football hub with a main pitch and a community 3G, 3,000 capacity with the potential for 5,000, which enables them, if they were to get promoted, to move up back into the National South and then maybe move into the National North on the back of that. So that would enable them to progress back up the pyramid. But again, in these current economic times, bits of paper, bits of plans, is whether these things can come to fruition. And when there's playing away, nearly 100 miles away, I think, away in Plymouth from home and getting gates of, just over 100, 150, maybe 200, it's a difficult project to fund.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, we've seen, things that have been talked about for years and years of, fallen by the wayside a long time ago. And these new plans, seem sort of more in keeping with kind of where they, what can be achieved. But getting back into home, we see it so many times with, the Maidstone's one of the obvious ones, and and all those nomadic years, and Gloucester had their issues as well, and kind of what actually returning back to your home base and that link with the community can do, because, very difficult, it sort of shows what kind of a good job the team are doing down there to be in the position they are, and it can't be easy kind of for everyone at the club to kind of keep that link and that identity with their fans, and the fans who are still kind of travelling up and making those long trips each week up to Plymouth, and they want to be there supporting their team as much as they can. So a huge game for them on Saturday, another one of our picture games, Western Supermare away, obviously top, 4 points ahead of them. Can they sort of shut that gap and kind of make it a good week on the pitch as well? And they're sort of kind of saying that they're hoping this stadium, the plans could be to be in there by 2024, so a couple of years away. Yeah, but hopefully that can start moving them forward and they can get that they can get that link back with their community and their exile.
Yeah, you've already mentioned a few articles and interviews you've already done for this weekend's paper. Anything else we can expect to read on Sunday morning after we've all enjoyed watching a real live game of football?
Well, yes, hopefully it will be an action-packed paper this week up to our usual full size, but you know, lots of interesting bits in there. We've got a nice piece with Sheringham FC, Eastern Counties League Club, who particularly proud of their programmes that sell out every year. They sort of do something different on the front cover every week, and sell out every week, and we think they're really kind of keeping the printed programme alive, and they've noticed sort of kind of off the back of it the interest that they get from groundhoppers and things like that. So a nice little piece on that. Covering all the big games. We're looking ahead to Wrexham's FA Cup game. Also, interesting column of Hereford manager Josh Gowling and talking about the sort of the side that maybe we don't see. I think we've got a little insight into it last week when Mark Hudson, who left Cardiff City, put out a little video. His family put out a video of him telling his sons how he'd got a job at Cardiff, and then sort of then cuts to when he has to tell them that he's leaving Cardiff. And it was just that little insight into the human side of management and what it's like. And Josh has kind of gone into that and expanded on that. And if you're given an interesting insight into what goes into a manager's week, and people might, as fans, you sort of think, oh, well, you see your team and they lose, you think, oh, they don't care. But actually how much they do care, how much it sort of affects them. And not just them, but also their families around. So quite an interesting insight into that as well.
Yeah, I think over the years you and I have both learnt what managers not to ring on a Saturday evening, whatever the result. Yeah, to suggest that managers and players don't care, it is very wide of the mark, I'd imagine, in almost every situation. Matt Badcock, always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. It's been great to have you back. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
And that's it for this week. Thank you, as ever, to all of my guests. Thank you for everybody for listening. Please do tell your friends, share it around, let people know that we're still here. Remember, you can, of course, follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. We're there, and there myself, at Tim Fuel, FUELLL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, also on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, also on CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.